Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and we'd like to know what's on your mind today. If you have a Bible question or an issue you'd like to discuss, well, we invite you to call right now. The number is 844-322-2742. That's our usual number, and we invite you to use it right now because we want to talk with you about whatever's troubling you or whatever question you might have. So in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742 is the number to dial because it's Basic Gospel, everybody, and I'm very, very I'm happy to have Andrew Farley back with me today. Dr. Farley, welcome back.
Hey, thank you, Bob. Great to be with you today. You know, I wanted to start out today's broadcast talking about how simple and straightforward salvation really is. Ephesians 2 says that we're saved through faith, and it's not of ourselves. It's a free gift. And yet, Bob, you can look at the Christian world, you look at the religious world around us, and people try to complicate what is really simple. I mean, you know, they came to the apostles and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And in Acts 16, the answer is this: believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. There's no mention of water baptism. There's, of course, no mention of circumcision. There's no mention of law keeping. There's no mention of self-improvement. There's no mention of trying to repent of everything you've ever done and keeping some sort of record. There is a simple, straightforward message of salvation. And, you know, Jesus in John 5 says, "I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life," period. Yeah. Right there, you've got this simple gospel, this simple grace, this message of Jesus plus nothing. No additives, no fly in the ointment, no worm in the apple, nothing to mess it up. And Bob, when you get a hold of this message, you realize I'm saved by someone else. I'm saved by the power of someone else. I'm saved by the work of someone else. And that is also the very work, the very finished work that sustains me forever. And we start with grace. We finish with grace. It's all about the grace of God.
Without question. Andrew, thank you for those thoughts. It is amazing to me how many people do indeed complicate the issue of the gospel. I heard a very, very prominent pastor this past weekend who was saying that we literally, unbelievers literally have to beg their way, force their way into heaven. It's almost like we have a God up there that's pushing us back and not wanting us to come in. And this is a gentleman who has been in ministry and a prominent ministry for many, many years. And you would think at this particular point, people would understand that the gospel is not begging and pleading, "God, please save me." It is, "Lord Jesus, thank you for what you've done. And now show me how to go about my life."
Right. This was God's agenda. It was God's plan. He enacted it through Jesus Christ. It's all done and ready. I mean, Jesus said, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." This is not rocket science. You look at Revelation 3, the invitation is one thing: open the door. And it's as simple as that. He's standing at the door. He's already accomplished everything. Literally, it kind of reminds me of T-ball. You remember T-ball when you were a kid. I mean, you know, they had baseball and then there was T-ball. Well, T-ball, my goodness, everything's set up for you. It's already on the tee. The ball is set up. The team is out there ready, and all you got to do is just dink it and run.
Right.
Well, it's very much like what we see in Revelation 3. I mean, God has prepped the gospel through the cross, through the resurrection. The only thing we do is respond. The only thing we do is open that door, and we're saved. So it's not complicated. It's simple. It's not about us. It's about Jesus, and thank God for that.
Absolutely. Andrew, again, thank you for those thoughts. And friends, thank you for being with us for this edition of Basic Gospel. Andrew Farley is here. I'm Bob Davis, and we want you to be a part of the broadcast. And you can do that by dialing that number right now, 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and Canada. Again, 844-322-2742. Well, Andrew, October 15th through the 17th is going to be a special time as you and Bob Christopher team up for a Bible conference, Immersed in the Grace of God. It's going to be the first time through this ministry, anyway, that we've all gotten together since before COVID-19 made its inauspicious advent, and I think it's going to be a great time. And friends, we want you to be a part of it. Andrew Farley and Bob Christopher, United, October 15th through the 17th. Information and registration is available at basicgospel.net/united. Andrew, I know you're looking forward to it. I am, and I know Bob Christopher is as well. Going to be a great time, my friend.
Yes, it is. If it's been a while since you've gathered with other like-minded believers, that's a great reason to
join us. We've lost Andrew just for the moment. He'll be back.
Celebrated the finished work of Jesus Christ with others. It's a great reason to come. There's so many reasons to come. In fact, we've been talking the last week or two now, Bob, about our ministries working together, coming
yes.
together with this beautiful new plan. There's a reason we named this event United, because it reflects our union with Jesus, but it also reflects our union together in reaching more people with the gospel.
Yes, indeed. Well, again, friends, you can get the information. You can register at basicgospel.net/united. That's coming up October 15th through the 17th, and it's going to be a great time right here at our ministry hometown of Louisville, Texas. Well, once again, want to give that number, 844-322-2742, good in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. Friends, we'd love to hear from you. Andrew, in the meantime, a question from Carol, and the question is, I don't know if this is wrong or right, but I've been baptized and I've given my life to God, but sometimes I hear this voice telling me that I haven't been saved and that I'm not good enough. Can someone please help me?
Well, that's the voice of the accuser, and I think we need to recognize that. The accuser is ready to erode your story. The accuser wants to make it, Carol, he wants to make it about you and whether you did it all right, whether you said it all right, whether you did it perfect. And so the accusations starts like this. Maybe you didn't pray the prayer right. Maybe you didn't repent enough. Maybe you didn't say you were sorry enough. Maybe there weren't enough tears. Maybe there wasn't enough sorrow and remorse. And the enemy starts to take your story and begins to erode it to try to accuse you of not being a saved person. Now, you know, at the end of the day, we have to know there's no condemnation in Christ. And what did we just finish looking at? We were looking at how simple salvation is, that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. So as I said earlier, this is not rocket science, and it's God looking at your heart saying, you want me, you want life, yeah. You want to be saved. It's not about using fancy King James English. It's not about praying a proper prayer. It's not about magic words that are scripted ahead of time. I mean, even the idea of Lord, save me. Well, that's an attitude of the heart,
yeah.
And sometimes it comes with no words at all. So we have to recognize that God sees our hearts, that being saved is simple. And, you know, when he promised to come in that door, then this is about the truthfulness of God. It's not about whether I did everything right, whether I said everything right. It's not even about have I been performing well lately. This whole thing is about whether God is a liar. Is God a liar when he said, I'll come in and live with that person and he with me? Is God a liar when he says, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you? Is he a liar when he says, nobody can snatch you out of my hand? And when he says that salvation is easy and light, is that the truth, or is God a liar? Now, I put that in black and white terms, Bob, because that's the way we need to see it when accusation hits. This is not about me and my consistency and my obedience and me doing it right. This is about Jesus having done it right on the cross and through the resurrection. The whole thing hinges on him and the fact that he's a truth teller.
Absolutely. Well, we hope that's a help to Carol and to many people who might be listening today. And Dr. Andrew Farley is joining me. I'm Bob Davis, and we're going to swing down, Andrew, to Thorndale, Texas, and talk to our friend Clay. Clay, hello there. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Andrew and Bob. Romans 8, 4 and 5. You know, yeah. I'm not going to read this thing, but it, you know where it talks about and 5, for those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things that are the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things that are Spirit. And it says, for the mind of some translation says, for the mind of man is an enmity or an enemy to God. And I know that the mind of man of a believer is never an enemy to God. And some people want to say this is if you don't walk in the Spirit, your mind's an enemy to God. So I'd just like to hear you comment on that. Thank you.
Thanks, Clay.
Yeah. You bet, Clay. That's a great question. And this is a controversial passage in Romans 8. A lot of people have taught it as the Christian is sort of flip-flopping back and forth from the Spirit to the flesh to the Spirit to the flesh. And I don't see this string of verses that way, Bob. I think what God is saying through the Apostle Paul here is that there's two kinds of people. There are people who are in the Spirit who have a new tendency, and they have a new trend, and they have a new pattern. And this tendency or trend or pattern is to set their minds on things of the Spirit. And then there's our former identity. We were in Adam, and we used to have another trend, another tendency, another pattern, and that was setting our minds on things of the flesh. So that's why Paul is so adamant here, and he says that the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God. It does not subject itself to the law of God, and it's not even able to do so. That's an unbeliever. Now, some people would argue with me, but the very next verse says, and those who are in the flesh cannot please God.
Right.
So you say, can a believer please God? Well, of course we can, because we're not in the flesh. We're in the Spirit. And then he goes on, he says, however, you believers are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if the Spirit of God dwells in you. So I would challenge you to look at Romans 8, these first 10 verses or so, and look at it as Paul alternating between a person who's in Adam and a person who's in Christ, a person who's in the flesh and a person who's in the Spirit. Now, unbelievers set their minds on things of the flesh. It's just what they do. It is their trend or their pattern, and believers have that new pattern. So, Clay, that's why Paul is saying that these folks are not even able to please God, because in context, he's talking about someone who's not even in Christ. And, you know, apart from him, we can do nothing, and our righteousness is like filthy rags. So that's a perfect fit with the who an unbeliever is at the core. And then, Bob, I would just say, isn't it exciting that we get transferred out of Adam into Christ?
Absolutely.
And for the first time ever, we can actually walk by the Spirit and do things that are pleasing to God.
And isn't that good news? It's basic gospel kind of news, everybody. And thanks, Clay, for a good question, and we appreciate hearing from you, friend, as always. 844-322-2742. We have open lines for you. Again, 844-322-2742. And Andrew, we have this question that just came in from a YouTube viewer named Robert. He says, can you explain Matthew 7, verses 21 through 23, in light of not being lost? This is scary, and I can't explain it, he says. That's Matthew 7, 21
through
23.
Yeah, well, Matthew 7... Yeah, it says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy? Didn't we cast out demons? Didn't we perform many miracles in your name? And then notice what the response is from the Lord. The response is not, you've lost your salvation. The response from the Lord is, I never knew you. So this is not a Christian who messed up too much and suddenly lost their salvation. This is someone who never knew the Lord, and the Lord never knew them. You say, well, why? Where did they get their wires crossed? Why didn't they know the Lord? Well, look at the focus of this person. I mean, Bob, imagine standing at the gates of heaven, and there's a question issued to you. Why should we let you in? And the first thing on your lips is, well, look at all the stuff I did. Look at all the miracles I performed. Look at all the exercises I did. Look at all the preaching I did. man, if that's on my lips, then I do not get it. That is backwards. That's about me and what I think I did for God instead of what God did for me through the person of Christ. Yeah. So these people are not believers losing salvation. They are people who got the gospel message upside down. Mm-hmm. They got it backwards. Yeah. They got it wrong. They were seeking to self-justify rather than recognizing it's a free gift given to us freely through Christ.
Absolutely. Well, Robert, thanks for your question. Good to hear from you. Well, Andrew, as you know, we say thanks to our donors every month by sending them a resource we feel will benefit them and their daily lives in the Lord Jesus. And recently, the resource we've been sending is your series called Clean and Close. So for those who have yet to donate and maybe haven't heard about this particular offer, well, give everybody an idea of what the series is about.
Yeah, so it's an 8-part series, Bob, and it's called Clean and Close because that's what we are. We're not trying to inch closer to the God of the universe. We're not progressively getting cleaner and closer. When we understand what Christ did for us, we can shout from the rooftops that we are clean and we are close, and that's what this series is really celebrating. So, you know, it's an 8-part series. It was filmed in the DFW area. It was made originally for Right Now Media. If you know what Right Now Media is, it's kind of like the Netflix of churches. People in churches from all over the world will get access to this. But we have made a special offer. We're giving people this as a thank you gift for a donation this month to Basic Gospel. And, you know, our heart behind this is we want to encourage people that you really are clean. It's not progressive. You really are close. It's not progressive. And you can have confidence and rest in all that Jesus did. So, Bob, people can go to basicgospel.net and click on the donate tab, and we're sending this as a thank you for their gift this month.
Good job on Clean and Close and on talking about it. Thank you, my friend. Once again, plenty of time left on the clock, friends. We want to hear from you, 844-322-2742. Had this question from Lewis. He says, according to 1 John 3, 5-9, believers cannot sin because they're born of God. So his question is, as Christians, do we sin?
Yeah, I think 1 John 3 is a challenge for a lot of people, and yet when you look in the New American Standard Version, you find this word practice, and the word practice becomes essential because I guess a lot of people have read this chapter and they run away thinking, well, Christians should never sin again. They never commit any more sins. No one who abides in him sins. No one who's born of God sins. And yet, when you look at the verbiage here, literally the verb tense and the aspect of it, it's this idea of keep on keeping on. Mm-hmm. And that's why in the NASB, as one example, they use the word practice. The one who practices sin is of the devil. I think of LeBron James or Steph Curry. I think of someone in the NBA who wakes up every day and they practice basketball in order to get better at basketball, in order to be a world champion at basketball. So we've got a new practice. If you're waking up every day now to practice sin in order to be an expert at sin, in order to be a world champion at sin, then you're doesn't sound to me like you're born of God. But if you have a new practice, if Christ is living in you and he has begun this good work and he's carrying you on to completion, look, that doesn't mean that you perform perfectly. The book of James says we all stumble in many ways. So clearly there's failing and falling down and skinning your knees and getting back up and learning and growing. All of that is a process. But what 1 John 3 is saying is there's two kinds of people in the world. There's believers and deceivers. And the true believer is born of God. We got a new heart, we've got a new spirit, we've got God's spirit living in us, and we've got, because of all that, we've got a new practice, a new way to think, a new way to act. It doesn't mean we have perfect performance, but it does mean the one who is perfect and teaching us perfectly lives in us now, and that makes all the difference.
Absolutely. Well, we've had some great questions on the broadcast today, and Andrew, some great answers from you. And here's another great question from Chris. He says, I never heard anyone ask if we are predestined, and if God knew us before we existed, why would he create us if he knew that we would be tempted by sin? I don't mean any disrespect, but why would God cast Satan down to the earth, then place mankind on the same planet? I'm a father, and I would never put my children into that predicament.
Yeah, well, I hear it. I mean, we start to become judge and jury of God in a way if we're not careful. And I think the short answer, Bob, is the love of God, that the love of God just simply will not control us. He won't turn us into automatons. He won't turn us into robots. You know, he created Satan along with all the other angels, Lucifer, and knowing the future, he created those angels. And knowing that Adam and Eve would rebel, he created humanity. And so he knew the future, and yet he created us. And you say, why? Isn't that mean? Isn't that cruel? Why would he do such a thing? And I think ultimately the answer is love, and the answer is Jesus, meaning that Jesus did a greater work. Ultimately, the rescue that we get through Christ puts us in a condition that is greater than that of Adam and Eve. Yeah. Now, I know somebody out there might be thinking, wait, how can you say our condition is better than Adam and Eve? Well, we can say that already. We can say it right here, right now, and here's one reason why. Just one example to entertain for a moment. You know, Adam and Eve sinned one time, and they lost life. And we sin every day, and we never lose life. Yeah. So we've got a better condition than Adam and Eve already. Not to mention, Bob, I mean, the new heaven, the new earth, the new resurrection body. I mean, ultimately, what Christ has done in redemption is better than what the original creation was. And so that's the way God works. He takes a horrible, ugly situation that looks hopeless, and he's always got a plan, and we don't get it, and we want to be judge and jury, and we want to say, God, why did you let this happen? And yet, again, part of that answer is love. What did you want me to do? Control people? What did you want me to do? Manipulate everybody? What did you want me to do? Make them into puppets as I'm the grand puppet master in the sky? At the end of the day, thank God that we have the freedom to reply to the gospel. We have the freedom to love God back as he inspires that love in us. And we've got choices that we get to make because, Bob, you know what? Eternity is a long time. All right. And to be controlled as a robot for eternity would be no fun at all. And yet here we are getting to enjoy a living, vibrant relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. And there's choices involved every day. And that's a beautiful thing.
That's a beautiful thing. Andrew, have about 1 minute to answer this question from Kurt. He says, I have a question about seeking the Lord. If we are in Christ, do we need to seek the Lord? He's always with us and always hears us, and we're never out of fellowship with him. So it seems there's no need to seek him once we have him. What do you say?
Yeah, that's right. I think you're on to something, Kurt. I mean, in Matthew 7, Jesus' promise was not seek and you'll eventually seek some more. He said seek and you'll find. And we have found him through Jesus Christ. We have found permanent bond, permanent connection with God. We're no longer seeking, we've found. We're no longer thirsting and hungering, we have been filled. And it's okay to recognize that and start thanking God rather than trying to search for God. We can say, I've found him in the person of Christ.
Absolutely. Andrew, such a pleasure to have you on the air with us today. Thank you for holding forth with us, and we'll look forward to having you again soon. And friends, that's it for another edition of Basic Gospel. Remember, it's because of you that we are here every weekday bringing you the good news of the gospel of grace in Jesus Christ. We need your help to ensure the message continues on the air and online. Donate now or anytime at basicgospel.net and request your copy of Andrew's excellent video series, Clean and Close. Again, please donate now or anytime at basicgospel.net. Want to remind you also that the listener line is always open for those of you who can't make the call during the live broadcast. If you have questions about a Bible passage or about the Christian life in general, leave us a voicemail at 844-322-2742 and we'll discuss it on the Basic Gospel program. Again, that number, good in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742 for the Basic Gospel listener line. We hope you'll use it. We'd love to hear from you on Basic Gospel. Well, now for Bob Christopher, for Andrew Farley, and all the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.